Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to this week's Impact Wrestling Media Teleconference. This is Ross Foreman. Gives me great privilege this week to welcome a guy who I've actually wanted on this teleconference for several weeks, if not longer. And, his schedule is incredibly busy. And the rider he gave me of information I had to provide to him just to do this teleconference was absolutely insane. Let's welcome KM. My first question off the bat, KM. You insisted green M&Ms strictly provided to you for this teleconference. What's up with that?
Strictly. That was a deal breaker. Green. Green is one of my favorite colors. It's the color of money. Strictly green M&Ms. Any other color, this would have been a deal breaker. I wouldn't be on this call right now.
Well, of course, I appreciate it. It was not the easiest to have to pick out all the other ones, but for you, the world. How's it going for you, KM?
No complaints. I just left the gym. I mean, it's well documented on the internet. I had a little knee surgery. I was doing a little rehab. I'll be good to go before I know it. So just, keep on trucking. I'm like Superman. They can't know what to break me, not even surgery.
What's the typical workout for you these days?
Well, it depends. Right now, I'm focusing more on lower drops and weight, take a little pressure off the knees and whatnot, and heal up. But normally, weight training, normal day at the gym, standard. I don't do anything. I'm not into that CrossFit lifestyle and stuff. I actually am into DDP yoga, believe it or not. I don't know if my persona would, scream DDP yoga, but yeah, I've been practicing DDP yoga now for about 7 years, so you'd be surprised at what I could do.
Bro, let me tell you, that stuff's the best.
My buddy right there. Be careful what you say.
My buddy too, So let me ask you, Cam, lots going on with you in Impact these days. Talk to us about what you got going.
Well, present day, if you guys have been following the show and whatnot, you'll see that I'm a diehard mixed martial arts fan. If I could go in a time machine, I would go back in time and I would train for both professional wrestling and mixed martial arts. I follow it up and down, in and out, and what you see is real life. I mean, it's a dream come true to try to be a part of American Top Team, and I'm familiar with that whole camp and what they do down there and what they stand for. And that's my main goal right now is to run with the pack and, to join American Top Team. I made some noise throughout the last year since I arrived at Impact Wrestling, since my very first day back in March, March 30th, I believe it was, when I made my debut. But present day, time to put a little bit of change. I decided to step it up, and what better way to step it up than to be with a pack of wolves like American Top Team? So that's numero uno for me right now.
All right, well, we'll open it up for some media questions. The first is the media probably knows. January 10th through January 15th, Impact Wrestling will be back in Orlando, Florida, the Impact Zone at Universal Studios. Another round of Impact tapings. Cam, your thoughts about going back to Orlando?
Well, Canada was a lot of fun. Believe it or not, in my almost 18 years, March will make 18 years since my first professional wrestling match, I've never actually wrestled in Canada. I've actually never been to Canada, which is kind of funny considering New York is only a 7-hour drive away from Toronto. I've never actually been to Canada, so that was actually fun to go and piss off a bunch of Canadians, and that was a treat for me. Orlando's home to Impact Wrestling. I love nothing more than going there and seeing all the signs and just really getting under everyone's skin over there. I love the fact how much they hate me over there. And it brings the biggest smile to my face, and it's the best post-Christmas present I could ask for to ruin people's lives.
All right. Well, one final question from me before we move on to the media questions. As the media no doubt is aware, we launched a VIP package for the Orlando area. It's 3 days. You can find out all the information on impactwrestling.com. But one of the big aspects of this VIP package is miniature golf with the superstars of Impact Wrestling. Now, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but I've heard that KM is actually an award-winning miniature golfer. Can you confirm and can you tell us anything about that?
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out GoEck.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Oh, absolutely. I just before I worked out at the gym, I just did a couple rounds of miniature golf and stuff like that. I love going in there, you know, just destroying everybody and making them cry and stuff like that. I look forward to doing that with the Impact fans and stuff, you know. They're all excited. They buy the VIP package. They're like, I get to play miniature golf with the superstars. And then they go against me. And, you know, most people probably, you know, let the little kiddies win, bring a smile to them. I actually take joy in watching them destroying them so badly. They get really upset about it. And then, you know, kind of like the Grinch that stole miniature golf from them. But I'm looking very forward to do this little miniature golf post.
VIP package.
VIP package.
I can't say I'm surprised to hear that you want to be the little kid in miniature golf, but that's how it goes.
Everybody.
Everybody.
There's no
seniors, everything in between.
Yeah, I don't discriminate against age or the miniature golf. I take it very seriously.
All righty. Well, that said, we will open up to the media for some questions for KM. As usual, I ask that simply you identify yourself and your media outlet, and we will get everybody some questions for KM.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press star 6.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out goek.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
Hello, KM. This is Big Ray for OneWrestling.com. First and foremost, thank you for joining us today, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We appreciate your time. I wanted to talk about the maturation process from Kevin Matthews to KM. You've been in the business since, 2000. It's a long time, sir. And you're still a young man. So just, can you give us a walkthrough of, you know, what took you from Kevin Matthews, that person, to who you are right now in the business as KM?
Well, anyone that's followed my career as Kevin Matthews, my actual shoot name is Kevin Matthew McDonald. So growing up as Kevin McDonald, everyone called me KM, and then when I adopted my middle name as my last name for my wrestling persona, just went as Kevin Matthews, all the wrestling personalities call me KM. So I've always been KM since day one, literally since I was in first grade, kindergarten, people have been calling me KM. But you go, what you see is what you get. People don't realize that. They think that, for the most part, this is a character and whatnot. And I've said it multiple times, I was a nightmare of a student. I was in a multitude of fights, suspended, kicked out of school, left back. I was a disaster of a kid growing up. And, you know, I mean, what you see is what you get with me. I kind of walked to the beat of my own drum. And no matter which name, if you want to call me Kevin Matthews, you want to call me Kevin McDonald, or just abbreviate and call me KM, it's the same exact person no matter what. If I came out, you know, smiling, kissing babies, high-fiving, hugging, that's a character. That's not me. What you see is what you're like, where I come out and I kind of speak my mind and do what I want, that's always been me. And you can use Google and trace it back as far as you want. It's always been me. So, yeah, I take a lot of pride in getting to be who I am and not being told to be somebody else. So.
And I'm sure you block a lot of shots in basketball, right, when you're going up against six-year-olds? I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually,
good for you.
That was my sport of choice. I started training in 1999 for professional wrestling, but before that, I always was on out-of-school league, basketball league and stuff. That was my passion along with professional wrestling growing up. I was a big Reggie Miller fan, which, if you actually think about it, I'm a Brooklyn, New Yorker. If you follow basketball, Reggie Miller was the Knick killer. And so I guess I always had that kind of, you know, heel persona to me where, even though in New York, this guy's getting booed out of the building, and I was like, wow, that's so awesome.
Hello, KM. It's Adam at the Impact Lounge in Scotland here. How are you this evening?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Brilliant. Really good, thanks. I just really wanted to follow on from the last question, if I can, and just the creative progress of your character. Obviously, now it's all about showing off what you can do to America's top team, but where did that idea come from? Was that something that you came up with, or was that something to do with the new creative team gave you that ball to run with?
It's creative proposed it, and I jumped at it because literally it stems off of my legit real love. I mean, you could ask me a million one MMA questions right now, and I could talk to you for 50 hours about MMA, and I have a lot of knowledge about it and stuff like that. I follow it in and out, and I have for about, I don't know, 12, 13 years. So they know I'm a diehard MMA guy, and so they're like, well, let's go real life stuff, you know? KM in the real world would love to be a part of American Top Team. Let's let's just roll the cameras and see where that goes. And it's based off of a bit of a real life situation. I mean, I'm a huge, huge MMA fan. I'm a big fan of a lot of guys at the American Top Team. And even when I go down to Fort Lauderdale and stuff, I plan on, they keep inviting me over there. I plan on going down to Coconut Creek, Florida, which is right next door. And, you know, checking out the school and stuff like that and hanging out with the guys. And yeah. So they know the real life KM. So they just took a real life storyline and put it on TV.
Thanks, y'all.
Welcome.
Ryan Ryder from Main Event Radio. KM, you claim that pound for pound that you're the strongest wrestler on the Impact roster. How can that be proven?
How can it not be proven?
So where'd the claim come from?
Oh, I mean, can you dispute it? Can you say that that's not truthful? I mean, do we do any kind of test to prove that or not? I mean, I'm stating that I am until somebody comes along and proves me otherwise. I think, you know, no one else has claimed anything differently. So I would say, you know, until I'm proven otherwise, that my claim stands. At least with me, it does.
Can we see a competition on a future episode of Impact?
Yeah, if I'm feeling up to it. I don't lie. So anything I kind of say is truthful and gospel. So I think, I don't know, I don't really have anything to prove to anybody. So I think, you know, just believe what I say and don't question it.
Thank you.
Sure sounds like Ryan's calling you a liar.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I don't know if I have. I want to see proof of it.
Nah, don't worry. Just trust me. I don't lie. We did the competition, but it just wasn't filmed. And it's pretty wild, yeah.
So,
I beat out ET3.
So why don't you do another competition in film at this time?
Nah, I don't want to waste any more footage. They need it for TV and stuff like that, so I don't care. But it's both money, you know?
I guess the claim stands, pound for pound, the strongest wrestler on the Impact roster, and it goes until it can be proven otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, Ross was there, he saw it. I mean, it happened, just trust me, it happened.
Hey, KM, this is Greg Matthews, Hero.com. There's been a lot of comparisons between the KM character on Impact and Ben from Back to the Future. Now, being a big Back to the Future fan myself, I would just like to ask, is there any hint of inspiration there, or is that just completely a coincidence?
I mean, I'm not going to pretend I haven't seen Back to the Future, of course I have. But when you look at a guy like Biff, though, I mean, am I trying to be Biff? No, but to me, when I look at him, I don't necessarily see a bully. I see, like I said earlier, a guy that walks to the beat of his own drum, speaks his mind, does what he wants, isn't told how he can act, how he can walk, how he can talk, nothing. I mean, so, in a way, I mean, you kind of almost got to look up to a guy like that, you know, instead of the average puppet that's being controlled by other people and being told, I'm not a fan of that. I've always been my own individual growing up, but I'm never listening to any kind of authority and doing what I wanted. I mean, if people want to make the comparison, hey, go ahead. I think Biff's a pretty cool dude, if you ask me. I mean, we both wear leather jackets, and we're both pretty stylish, you know. I like the guy. I personally look up to him. If you want to be Marty McFly, hey, rock on. Go for it all day long. You want to be that guy getting picked on. I'd rather be the other guy.
Hi, KM. It's Adam from the Impact Lounge again. Yeah, I've just obviously been around the business since 2001, as you said, but obviously you've been off the mainstream. 99, is it? Sorry. Obviously, your big break now on national TV on Impact. When we look back over the years at where stars have been created, do you think you will be seen as the next kind of Impact homegrown talent?
Considering I haven't had any real substantial television exposure prior to this, I mean, I've been all over the place. I worked for pretty much every major company stateside. But this is my first, I guess if you want to say first national television exposure or break or whatever you want to call it. I mean, yeah, I'm not looking at Impact's going to make me a star. I'm kind of looking at it I'm going to take Impact to the next level, you know? Not I'm relying on them. I'm kind of thinking more along the lines of they're relying on me.
Hello, guys. It's Francis Reyes from Manchester. Two-part question, KM.
at the moment, you're coming back into partly being shown on the international stage. Do you think in like maybe like 2 to 3 years, you could be like a franchise player of Impact Wrestling like EC3 was? And also as well, what's you hoping for next year for KM?
I don't want to ever compare myself to any individual, and I know what you're not necessarily saying, do I want to be EC3? EC3 has done, in the short amount of time, been here a couple of years. I mean, he went from coming in as unknown to being a household name, and he's done fantastic for himself. He's, I think he's all around pretty tremendous, especially considering what he's done in the short amount of time. I kind of want to pave my own way, carve my own path. I don't want to necessarily follow the footsteps of anyone else, and again, I know you're not saying, do I want to be EC3, you're just saying, like, the position he's in and whatnot. I mean, I'm always a day-to-day kind of guy. Like, that's how I live my life. I don't do, hey, 1 year from now, I want to do this. 2 years from now, I always say, like, hey, today I want to do this. The next day, hey, today I want to do this. Like, that's how I always live my life. So, even when I'm at the tapings, it's day by day with me. And, thinking of it now, I mean, I plan on 100%, I mean, for lack of a better word, plan on making an impact and, getting my name bigger, along with the company getting bigger. We'll see what in a few years from now, I mean, if I'm the top dog, hey, fantastic. I mean, like I said, I'm never going to change who I am, and I'm never going to stray away from walking to the beat of my own drum and stuff like that. And, I mean, if that takes me to the very tippy top of the company, and then, hey, so be it. I mean, do I plan on winning championship gold there? Of course. I don't plan on being second fiddle to anybody. So, I debuted March 30th. I think in the short time I've been with the company, I've done a pretty good job of getting my name out there. And, this is just the beginning. Like, now what you're seeing on TV is really the start of KM kind of, going full steam ahead. And we're going to start doing things my way. And, there's going to be a trail of bodies, in the wake of it all. So, yeah, I'm excited for the future. So should you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, KM. David Dunhill, the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. When you first came to Impact Wrestling, it was as Sienna's cousin. Just wondering, what's your assessment of Sienna and where she fits currently in the Knockouts division?
I mean, I think she's at the top of it. I mean, if you look at everything she's done, I mean, she's a dominant champion. She's literally defeated every single Knockout they've had. I mean, there's no, you can't take away, you can't discredit anything she's done. She's at the top of the heap, and I wouldn't be surprised, in a very short time if she regains that championship. I wouldn't be surprised when it's all said and done if she held that title more times than any previous Knockout and is in the, Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. And I mean, I think for her, it's just starting. For where she's at right now, it's literally just starting. And I think the future is extremely bright for her. So, I mean, she never needed me by her side to be a success. So I think it's just like myself, it's just starting. I don't think she peaked anywhere, came close to peaking yet with her title. And I think it's literally just the beginning. And I think people should, sit back and watch, because it's not the end of her. It's literally the start of her career there.
Okay, I was looking back over your resume on the net and I noticed that you were trained by Johnny Rods and Bill DeMott. Obviously, a lot's been said about Bill DeMott over the last few years. Have you got any experiences that you'd like to share, whether it be positive or negative?
I don't have any positive experience with Bill DeMott. Every experience I have with him is 100% negative. And to set the record straight, it says I was trained by Johnny Rods, but that's inaccurate. I went to his school in 1999. I was there for a year, and for that entire year he never came to the ring one time, and then I left the school. I never learned one thing from Johnny Rhodes. He never told me one thing. I wish that could get erased from the internet if anyone's listening to this and can alter any websites that say that, because that's not true, and I don't want to give people credit where it's not due. But yeah, and Bill DeMott, when I was with WWE, I was with him in developmental, a place called Deep South Wrestling in Georgia.
and I was very vocal about it, and there's not one positive. It's well documented on the internet. I was the one who spearheaded that. There's not one positive thing I could say about it. To me, it's so long and water under the bridge now. But yeah, my experiences were not good. And yeah, and everything that's been said on the internet from all the towns I spoke at is 100% true. So, I mean, everything's good to me right now.
Good. Well, from a positive point of view, who has been the biggest influence on your career, would you say?
I mean, as far as wrestling career, I mean, it's a lot of people that I've met over the years. I mean, I don't necessarily have that one person, that one mentor, really. I mean, in 2005, I moved down to the Carolinas. I mean, for a couple of years, I was working under Off of the Wild Samoan, Pennsylvania, and then after that I moved down to the Carolinas, and then I was learning from a lot of legends like, you know, Rock and Roll Express and Tracy Smothers, and doing shows with these guys and picking their brain and doing seminars, guys like Dr. Tom and all these guys, and I learned as I went, learning from these guys and picking their brains and stuff like that. But in detail wrestling, Dave Taylor trained me. While I was there, I was learning stuff from Dave Taylor instead of just getting, you know, drilled into the floor and beaten and talked down to, and, you know. But Dave Taylor was really good. And just, like I said, again, people over the years, and you pick up things as you go and whatnot. I mean, even today, there's a lot of people that are training people that shouldn't be training people. And they don't know anything to be able to teach anybody anything. So, you just gotta, anyone listening to this that's interested in becoming a professional wrestler, you gotta do your research, pick and choose wisely, because you're putting your potential career in someone else's hands, and obviously injury is expected, but you don't want to be in the hands of someone that doesn't know what they're doing, and then, you know, you're gonna get hurt. So yeah, I don't know how that conversation is geared towards that direction, but kind of went on a little rant there. But yeah, the original question is, who do I learn? I mean, like I said, I don't have that one person. I mean, for years, DDP has been a mentor for me. I got close with him with the DDP yoga thing and whatnot, and, you know, picking his brain about certain things and whatnot. But yeah, so a bunch of people. I can't necessarily credit just one.
Hi, again, it's Franz Reyes from In Ring Pop. My question is, who's your two opponents you want to wrestle in 2018?
Wait, say that one more time.
Who's your dream opponent that you'd like to wrestle in 2018?
Is it in Impact Wrestling, or is it just anyone?
Both.
In Impact Wrestling, I don't know if I've been in the ring with a ton of the guys. I mean, the ones that I haven't been in the ring with yet, I haven't been in the ring with Eli Drake or EC3. Haven't been in the ring with Bobby Lashley. I mean, so those guys. I always wanted to wrestle Grado too. I thought that would be fun. Even though I did a 6-man tag with him, but I always wanted a singles match with Grado. I think that would be a fun match. And I mean, around the world. Oh, DJ Z too. I would like to wrestle DJ Z. I think we could have fun in there. Outside of the company, I mean, I've already had a match with one of a good friend of mine, with Kenny Omega. I think I said in 2007 this guy was the best wrestler in the world, and no, everyone said like, who's that guy, and then fast forward 10 years later, everyone's like, he's the best wrestler in the world. So yeah, I'm not Nostradamus or nothing like that, but yeah, I call that one. So guys like him, there's so many good ones out there, man. It really is. So it's hard to say. I mean, as far as I don't know, I kind of at one point or another been in the ring with anybody I've ever wanted to really wrestle. So and, there's not that one person left. I mean, I wish I could have a match with DDP. Just I think that would be fun, but that's never going to happen. Other than that, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Kim, how would you do it in a match against Bro, DDP?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Robbie E for a second. I was going to be like, really? I guess we'll do okay. I don't know. I mean, I thought he was fantastic when he was active and stuff like that. I think that would be super fun. I did one show a couple of years ago, in 2012, almost 5 years ago, or six, geez. We did a little interim seg over here at Russell Pro, and he hit me with the diamond cutter and stuff like that. But other than that, I mean, just because of my friendship with him, I thought that would be cool, that would be bad to do, but, you know, ain't gonna happen. It's cool. No worries. But again, I don't have that one guy. And I'm like, oh man, my dream is to wrestle this one person, like, other than fantasy stuff like Bret Hart, and you know what I mean, the people that grew up watching.
Hey, Cam, this is Ryan Matthews, remote.com again. Speaking of DDP, your thoughts on his WWE Hall of Fame induction earlier this year?
I mean, how could you say that's not deserved, you know? I know you didn't say it, but no, okay, that's not like, you know, some of the other ones, like, I don't know, you know, you could kind of go down the list and see who doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to really name drop you, but every year there's usually one. But he deserves it, man. He earned it. He deserves it. And, yeah, and even like he's so successful to life outside of professional wrestling and so instrumental in a lot of people's lives and changing people's lives and saving people's lives. So, I mean, just, I don't know, just if you want to take his wrestling – his wrestling history and everything he's done and use that to put him in the Hall of Fame. Well, the fact that he's literally saving wrestlers' lives on a daily basis and use that to put him in the Hall of Fame or put them both together and put him in the Hall of Fame, he deserves it 10 times over. So I was very, very, very happy. I was actually down in Orlando when he got inducted and I unfortunately didn't make it. I want to see it, but my itinerary and stuff like that already had me coming back before I even knew he was announced. I was like, ah, no. So I mean, timing kind of sucked on that one, because had I known, I would have happily tried to make arrangements to watch it live and get inducted. So, yeah, but he absolutely deserves it. Super happy for him.
And like you had said, not to name drop anyone, but he's no Coco Beware or anyone like that.
That's kind of funny, because like, when I was about to start spitting out names, that was the first one I flashed before my face. So yeah, amongst other people, but so he did. There's still a lot of other people that deserve it and stuff like that. Like Owen Hart, I think it's what his wife isn't signing off on allowing him to be in there or something like that. I hope to see him in it, and I don't think Brian Pillman got in it yet either, right?
No.
I was a big, huge Pillman fan. Grown up ever since his ECW pissing on the ring promo. I actually became a fan of him. It was this flying bar in Baltimore 95 when it was him and Johnny B. Bett. When they went into like a double overtime in the opening match, it was outstanding. And then he went on later on to turn on, he turned on McFlair, right? On his spinebuster in Baltimore 95. Then he went over to ECW, pissing on the in the ring, and the whole, the loose cannon began. That was pretty awesome.
Great. Thanks, Cam.
Okay, it's Adam from the Impact Lounge. Last one from me, I promise. I was just curious as to, obviously, between the tapings, what kind of communication you have with Impact, and have you talked to the new management yet? Have they had a conference call with the roster, or have they called you directly?
The new management, as far as which individual you're speaking about?
Scott DeMore, the new...
Yes. Oh, yeah. I talked to Scott. I talked to Sanjay. I've known Sanjay now for, I've been wrestling 18 years. I've probably known Sanjay for around 17 or 16. Sanjay was, I mean, whenever he did shows up here, he was crashing at my house since in 2001, you know, when we were just on the Independence and stuff like that. So I've known Sanjay. I've been good friends with him forever. So, and I'm in constant contact with him. And I didn't know Scott DeMore prior to joining Impact Wrestling. So I got to know him very well since coming on board and stuff like that. And yep, I'm in constant contact with management and whatnot. So yeah, everything's seemingly well. I mean, they tolerate me and my behavior, so that's probably why I lasted as long as I have. But yep.
Hey, this is Vidu from Sportskeeda in India. My question is, what were your memories of working in India? Did you enjoy the experience? And you also had a lengthy program with Mahavani Shera. So what's your opinion of him as a professional wrestler? Thank you.
Well, going over to India for Impact Wrestling, that was actually my second time there. About 3 years prior to that, I went over there with Sanjay Dutt, Colt Cabana, and Trent Beretta. It was the four of us, and we literally did five shows in 5 days, just the four of us. We all wrestled each other and did tag matches, and it was a four-man roster. It was in Assam, India. We were over in Guwahati. So that's actually my second experience going over to India. And, I mean, I have no complaints. Everyone's so nice. I mean, yeah, no complaints going over there. I'd happily do it again, and it's always an experience, especially considering it's the first time I went was over in Assam. This time was in Mumbai, and you know, getting to travel and see different places and countries and whatnot is always cool. As far as Mahabali Shira, I like Shira. I like him. Even though I slapped him up a couple of times on TV, Shira's a good guy. So I have nothing but good things to say about Shira. So, and I mean, the position they put me in, can I really complain? They put me, that's the great place to be in, you know. They want you to wrestle Shira over in India. So it's pretty cool, you know, like wrestling Guerrero in Scotland. So, you know, it's no complaints there. So all positive things to say. So, but I'm saying positive things now. If I mean, whatever I wind up in the ring with Shira, it's, you know, I'm always going to slap them around. So, yeah. Friendship goes out the window when that bell rings.
Hey, what's up, players? This is Teddy Long. And if you want to look like a true player, then you need to get yourself a Gurick Report Podcast T-shirt. That's right. Get yourself the Gurick Report Podcast T-shirt, the same one that I'm wearing and sporting and looking good in it each and every day. And if you want to get one of them, all you got to do is go to Pro Wrestling Tees. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gurick. Get your T-shirt today, and you can look as pretty as me. Holla.
Hey, KM, David Dunn from New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer again. As we come up on the end of 2017, heading into 2018, are you a big New Year's resolutions guy? And do you have any New Year's resolutions, whether they be with Impact Wrestling or in your personal life?
Well, I signed a two-year contract that runs until March 2019. I mean, if all goes well, I mean, hopefully I'll be with the company for a lot longer than that. But, so, you know, I mean, I would like 2018 to see some gold around KM's waist, whether it's a grand championship or the heavyweight title, or, you know, if there's a, I mean, that kind of puts you at top dog, right? So if I have to win a belt, in my mind, I'm already top dog, so if I have to win a belt to prove to the world that I'm top dog, so I guess put that on the old wrestling bucket list for New Year's. I think it's good to say you're a revolution out loud, though, right? Isn't that kind of like a curse to do that? Nevertheless, whatever. That's, I guess, for my wrestling bucket list and Impact Wrestling, put that on for next year. And then from there, I'll just keep checking things off one by one. So, yeah.
Hey, Kim, it's BigRay1Wrestling.com. The last question is a perfect segue to this question, speaking about gold around your waist. Now, there's a wrestler within Impact Wrestling by the name of Kongo Kong that you've been linked to, and we haven't seen him for the last couple of weeks. But let's talk a little bit about Kongo Kong, your relationship with him. And, I mean, were there any thoughts, or are there any thoughts, of possibly teaming you two up to be a monster tag team? I mean, who would beat you guys?
Well, we did team. We had several tag matches together. But at this stage, I mean, Kongo, I mean, he's kind of a little bit of an oddball out. He doesn't really play well with others. I mean, neither do I, but he's kind of a little bit different. He's better left alone, so to speak, you know. Like, I'm on one side of the building, he's kind of in the other dark corner by himself, and, you know, not someone that I really, you know, play text tag with, so to speak, and say, hey, buddy, what's going on? And, you get response with, like, symbols and whatnot. He's like, okay, this is going nowhere quick. So he's kind of let that monster kind of do his own deal, and he's kind of, like I said, better left alone. And at this stage, I did the tag deal with him, I think it's time for me to go solo. And I kind of like the whole running with American Top Team as my team, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm looking more forward to that. So
well, The Grand Championship, it kind of has like an MMA style to it. And since you're a big MMA fan, I mean, I definitely could see that strap around your waist. I mean, who's your next target then?
If that's the belt I choose to go after, whoever is currently holding it, or at the time I choose to go after them for it. So we'll see. But you're right, yeah, it does have an MMA theme to it and stuff like that. And me being a huge MMA fan, I would almost play a game with myself where I wouldn't want to win the scorecards. I would want to finish people within those three rounds. That's what I would do. I would aim to finish every single person within those three rounds. I don't believe in this split decision or unanimous decision nonsense. I want to finish every single person within three rounds if I have that belt.
It's been a real pleasure, Kevin. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, man, Richie from Sports Clay again. My question is, so how does it feel to just enter a gym and beat people up? Like you did last
time. To go into the gym and beat people up. I mean, they want me to prove myself. I mean, I don't know how else American Top Team would want me to prove myself other than going around and kicking everyone's butts. I mean, so if that's what they want me to do, that's what I'm doing. I mean, I did it over in Canada. I mean, if they just want me to keep going up to people and showing, I mean, in Canada I took out three people. I mean, in one shot. I mean, over here I took out six. I mean, do you want me to take out 12? I mean, you want me to take out 24? I mean, you name it. I'll keep doing it until, you know, they say, whoa, this guy's legit. Let's give him a shot, you know? So it is what it is. If you want me to walk into a McDonald's and beat up everybody in there, let's do it. You know, I'll do what it takes. So it felt great. It felt great. It was easy.
It came a follow-up to that statement you just made. One of the things you insisted we put in the advisory was that you have a top five list of wrestlers you would like to smack around just because.
Yeah. I mean, for starters, four of them are the title holders in Impact Wrestling. You know, I want to slap up every single champion because, like I said before, those guys are at the top of the heap. Like, if people look at champions, number one. They're the number one guys. The number one tag team. The number one singles guy. The world champion. Like, you know, if I could take whoever has whatever belt, if I slap up all them, right, does that make me the top dog? Look, I mean, whoever I have to slap up to become that guy in everyone's eyes. I mean, I'm already that guy in my own eyes. So, I mean, perception is reality, right? So, if, you know, whether I have belts or not, if I go around and just take out everybody, you know, every champion there, every top dog there, then that doesn't that make me that guy? Doesn't that make me? I got a lot to prove. I'm still new. I mean, I've been in the game a long time, but I'm still fresh and brand new as far as Impact goes and the fans who have been watching since whatever 2002, right? So I have a lot to prove. I have to play catch up to a lot of guys in their eyes, and I mean, so yeah, that's I don't even know if it's a top five. I would almost say, you know, however many people on the roster, you know, put them on that list. I mean, or just take the top five guys in the company and put them on that list, and one by one, and then I'll prove myself. We'll see.
Hey, Cam, again, this is Graham Matthews, Hemo.com. You before mentioned your New Year's Eve plans and New Year's resolutions and stuff like that. Any Christmas plans, or is it just beating people up as usual?
Nah, come on. Christmas is a joyous holiday, man. You can't go around beating people up on Christmas. Come on, what kind of person do you think I am? That's just horrible. Why would you even suggest something like that? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe beat up Santa Claus a little bit, you know? Go to the malls. Go to the mall Santas with all the little kids online and just, you know, just beat the crap out of Santa Claus. That would be good, right? That would be some good footage, huh? Want to see me make about 200 kids cry? Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, man, did you again? Follow-up to the question I asked. So, as an MMA fan, who are some of your favorite fighters? And what did you think of the return of John Jones and the controversy surrounding his return?
Wait, so you said, who are my favorite fighters at MMA, and what do I think about John Jones' controversy?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, my favorite fighters, I mean, different eras and stuff like that. I mean, growing up, I've always been whatever, 12, 13 years ago, I started really following it. It's not more. I don't know. It was like late 90s. No, early 2000. It's like 2002 I started watching it, I think. And then, I mean, obviously I went back in history before that, but Fedor Emelianenko was always one of my top guys. Alistair Overeem was always one of my top guys. The Diaz brothers before the Conor, way before the Conor McGregor boom, I was a huge Nick Diaz fan, and then became a big Nate Diaz fan. I've always been a Diaz guy. I like guys like present day, Cub Swanson is exciting. I always like guys like Diego Sanchez. ATT, how could you deny Colby Covington, the number three guy in the division that's next in line for a title shot, and I think he's going to become the welterweight champion. I've never been a GSP guy, because in the welterweight division, I've always been a Nick Diaz guy. I respect John Jones. I always like John Jones, his fighting style. But the controversy surrounding him, it's not good, right? John Jones can't seem to stay out of trouble. He has a bit of an uphill battle for himself. So, I mean, even if you take everything away, that all his mess ups away and whatnot, I mean, this is definitely going to tarnish his legacy as the greatest of all time, because he keeps destroying everyone that he's failed, all these tests and doing all this stupid stuff. And he's his own worst enemy. John Jones is the only fighter that can beat John Jones. And I know that sounds cliche, but that's been proven to be the truth. Every time he comes back, he destroys the top guy, and then he screws himself up. So I hope he gets his stuff together, because John Jones is—you can't be any better than what John Jones is, and he's proven it time and time and time again. Even with a year layoff, he'll come back and just annihilate the top guys. So, yeah, sucks that he's going through what he's going through. I mean, it's exciting to watch. I enjoy watching him. So hopefully he'll be back. And currently, Francis Ngannou. He's one of my favorites, and it's not going to be just knock out Overeem, because you date back on my Facebook, January of last year, I predicted that he was going to knock out Orlovsky that night, then he's going to fight a top five guy, knock him out, which he just fought Overeem at number one, knock him out, then I said, this time next year, I'll fight for the title, and I'll be the champion, and now January 20th, he's getting a title fight. Again, I'm not saying that Nostradamus here, but yeah, I kind of called that a year in advance, and exactly the trail that he would take to get a title shot, and when he would get a title shot, and when he would be champion. But if you watch it, pay attention to that guy, nobody's going to beat that guy. That guy, his nickname is the Predator. He is the Predator. He is literally going to lay a trail of bodies, and it's going to be something else. He's going to, what Ronda Rousey did, killing everybody in the first round, the first minute, that's this guy, but it ain't on bars. It's knocking people's head off like a video game. And the other one that I'm really fond of, Joanna Jacek over the strawweight division for the females. I think she's pretty badass, and I predict she's going to win her belt back next year. There's a lot of them. I mean, I could rattle off, each division who I like, but yeah, and obviously it's a rotating door, new guys come in and whatnot. But I've never been on the bandwagon of, see, this is your point, you got me talking about it already, of like the GSPs and the Anderson Silvas and all of these guys. Like, even when Anderson Silva, I was on the Chael Sonnen bandwagon before. I mean, he blew up, and then I was like, wow, I want him to beat Silva. I was never a bandwagon jumper with, oh, I like this guy because, you know, UFC telling me to like this guy, or they're pushing him down my throat. I always kind of pick and choose my own guys, and MMA is a really fun world to follow. It sucks to be a casual fan where they only watch it when McGregor fights or Rousey fights or Lesnar fights. It's to me, that kind of sucks, because if you follow it really deep and you follow, I guess you want to call it the storylines or the trash talking back and forth on social media, and read the dirt sheets and read what's happening, you get so more excited for any fight, and you watch the countdown videos and stuff like that, where you're like, oh man, you're really sitting on the edge of your seat, opposed to not knowing any backstory and just sitting there watching it as a fight. So, I mean, I love being a fan right now.
Well, we have time for just a couple more questions for Cam.
Hi, Cam. David Dunn, New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer here again. That's really cool to hear you being so enthusiastic about MMA. It's great that you're a fan of that and pro wrestling. I myself, MMA fan as well. How big do you think the crossover audience is for mixed martial arts and pro wrestling? Are they pretty much the same people watching both products? And if not, should they be?
They should be, yes. Are they? Absolutely not. No. If you follow the numbers, especially with the pay-per-view buys and stuff like that, the diehard fans, when I look at a card And I go up and down the card. Like, this card is badass because I know they're exciting fighters and stuff like that. The casual fan looks at that and is like, I don't know any of these people. I'm not watching this. And then you look at the pay-per-view buys and, you know, 200,000 buys, 300,000 buys, stuff like that, where then, like, you have a Brock Lesnar or a Rousey or this, where one individual is bringing in all of, like, Conor actually attracts the wrestling fans, and he's smart with it. If you remember, Conor said, I'll beat up every WWE wrestler. And then, like, just like bait, all the WWE wrestlers are tweeting Conor saying, yeah, I'll kick your ass and blah, blah, blah. And they're firing back. It's like, this guy just literally laid a trap out and everyone stepped in it. And now he has, right, it was like a week or two before his, I forget which fight it was. Maybe it was his last fight against Eddie Alvarez, but, he laid a trap out for all the wrestling fans to watch him fight because he attacked WWE, and all the wrestling fans now are going to watch his fight because everyone, you know, fell into his trap. I mean, the guy's a genius. But, no, the wrestling fans, and I vent a lot about that because, like, when Punk fought and stuff like that, they'll watch one fight a year, and then they cast their opinion, like, this is what's going to happen, blah, 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 and they're, like, trying to, like, go head to head with the diehards, and they don't know what they're talking about, and they sound stupid when they talk. And so, no, I mean, pro wrestling fans, I think if they followed MMA the way I do and other diehards do, they would really, really like it. But unfortunately, they don't, and the numbers show that. Where, like, the most exciting cards where these guys fight, like, fans don't watch it. I mean, I'm curious to see what that last pay per view did. Where it was unbelievable, those fights, when you had Justin Gaethje and Eddie Alvarez and Overeem and Francis Ngannou and these guys, and they put on a war. There was that fight on the prelims. I mean, I don't know if you saw it. I forget the names of the guys, but, I mean, they had a fight of the year. Like, it was unbelievable. Unfortunately, no. I don't think wrestling fans, for the most part, do watch MMA. They just only watch the big fights, and it's unfortunate because usually the best cards are the fights where the casual fans can't name anybody on it. So, yep.
Hey, man, so apart from MMA, you also said you're a big fan of Kenny Omega. What do you think of Omega versus Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom this year?
I think it's brilliant for business. And much as well, I think it helps out all brands involved. Even though everyone says, like they're going at Jericho saying, oh, WWE this, they're pissed, they're this. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but this actually helps WWE in a way too, in a big way. It's a crossover without being a crossover. So it's great. I'm happy for Kenny Omega. I'm extremely happy for him. He was with me in developmental in 2006. We kind of buddied up with each other. He was at my house every day. We were just playing video games. Like, we were each other's best friends throughout our experience there. And now to see him, you know, excel to this level where, I mean, it's kind of wild because I watched him in developmental, and every match he would have, they would tell him, tone down your style. Like, you can't do all that. Like, they wanted work a hold. Like, and Omega now, this is how Kenny Omega operates. He needs to be not told what to do, because chances are his ideas are better. No, not chances are. 100% his ideas of what he can do and what should go where and how to do what are 100% better than anything somebody's going to get. Like, he has a very special brain, and he'll be the first to tell you he hates pro wrestling. He wants to be entertained. He doesn't want to watch standard wrestling matches. He does in the ring what he feels entertains himself, and it works because everyone's, you know, in sync with that, saying, wow, that's good. He does stupid things. Like, he calls himself the Cleaner, which is obviously a hitman type nickname, but, like, fans don't understand. So he comes out with a broom sometimes, acting like an idiot, like sweeping the floor and stuff. Like, he humors himself, and that's why he's as popular as he is. And, I mean, he's a special athlete. He needs to, you can't handcuff him, and that's what they did. I witnessed it. That's what they did in developmental. They handcuffed him, and he's just a bird that needs to fly free, man. And you can't tell him what to do. Just literally believe in what he wants to do, because it's better than anything you could suggest to the guy. And he's a perfectionist. The guy could wrestle in front of five people
And he doesn't, there's no such thing as mailing it in for him. It has to be five stars, no matter what. Like, he doesn't want any match out there of him that's not five stars. Even if it's goofy and comedic, it has to be beyond entertaining. Him and Daniel Bryan are throwing things around. They were thumb wrestling each other in between Bryan's two WWE runs. They were literally thumb wrestling each other in the ring, and they turned it into false finishes. It's just insane. The guy's a genius. So as far as him and Jarrett, it's brilliant. It's going to be, even though they step it up big time, especially at Wrestle Kingdom, I mean, Omega's closing the show. He's not going to have, you know, a six-star match. That's not in his thought process. It's 100% going to happen. So, I mean, I'm going to watch it. I'll stay up. I'm 100% going to watch that. And I'm super, super happy.
We're going to Ryan here for the final question.
Hey, okay, I'm Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. You paid a lot of dues before you got to Impact. Was there ever a specific match or moment during that journey where you said, it just clicked and you said, now I know that I'm going to make it? And thanks for your time today.
Against Kenny Omega. Yeah. August 2015 against Kenny Omega. Where I said, like, I went head to head with the best in the world and we went for 20 minutes and I was like, yeah. That was fun, but it was challenging, and it was fun, and exciting. But again, I never, like, at that stage, I was just having fun. I don't want to say that I came to terms, that it was like, oh, I mean, I'm getting older, and no big company's going to be kicking in my door and stuff like that. And I didn't really expect this. To be honest, I was just having fun at this stage, like, because for a little bit, wrestling wasn't fun for me. And then over in New Jersey, we have Pat Buck. I help him out with the shows. We run WrestlePro. Then we run fun shows, and, like, that was fun to me. We brought it back. Like, up to that stage, like, wrestling stopped being fun. And then we started doing these things over here in Jersey. And I'm like, this is fun. I'm drawing huge houses and stuff like that. And this is a lot of fun. And I was almost content with that. I was like, all right, we run a lot of shows. I get my wrestling fixed, and I'm having fun doing it, you know? And then Impact gave me a call. And, Jeff Jarrett, when he was there, he gave me a call, and he brought me on board back in March. And I was like, huh, I didn't expect that, but, yeah, let's do it. I mean, it's funny because I made a joke. I was like, Pat Buck has the training school in New Jersey. I help out with too. And the one in Long Island, I told the kids in New Jersey. I was like, at that stage, I was like more focused on, you know, the kids making it and stuff. I was like, yeah, my time is probably past or whatever. I'll just have fun with these and, you know, help out the guys and, you know, watch them succeed. And then when the call came, I was like, yo, screw you guys. It's still my time. My time's not up yet. So, but, it's been fun. It's unexpected, and I'm going to make the most of it. So, I'm grateful for the opportunity.
All righty, Cam. I appreciate your time very much. We've hit on a truly variety of topics in and out of the ring. I'll leave it to you for a final thought as we wrap up today's teleconference.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for the questions. I enjoyed this. Keep watching Impact Wrestling every Thursday, Pop TV, from 8 to 10, because, I mean, this the career of KM and Impact Wrestling has literally just started, we're in for a pretty exciting trip, man. If everything happens the way I'm predicting it in my head, I mean, this is going to be cool. This is going to be a lot of fun, so you're not going to want to miss this. Thanks for having me, guys.
Perfect, Cam. Thank you very much. We'll see you down in Orlando in about a month. And media, we will talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Visit our YouTube channel. Search Gerwick Report Podcast and subscribe. Check out the official t-shirt store for Gerwick and the Gerwick Report Podcast at prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. 8 great designs and all t-shirts are just $17.99 plus shipping and handling. Or just visit prowrestlingtees.com and search Gerwick to find our store.